That's a great way to start a Sunday morning service, isn't it? I have another great way. I'm going to read to you from God's Word, Psalm 103, and I'm going to read the whole thing because it's going to remind us why we're here, and it's because of who God is. So here's what Psalm 103 says. Praise the Lord, O my soul, all my inmost being. Praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with loving compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his deeds to the people of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve, or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are like grass. He flourishes like a flower of the field. The wind blows over it, and it is gone, and its place remembers it no more. But from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him, and his righteousness with their children's children, with those who keep his covenant and remember to obey his precepts. The Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all. Praise the Lord, you his angels, you mighty ones who do his bidding, who obey his word. Praise the Lord, all his heavenly hosts, you his servants who do his will. Praise the Lord, all his works everywhere in his dominion. Praise the Lord, O my soul. Isn't that awesome? Everything in heaven and on earth has opportunity to praise God. And today, together, we're choosing to do that as a body. What a privilege and what a joy. So we're glad that you're here in church today. If you have a bulletin and this is your first time, or maybe your first time back in a long time, on the back of the end is a place for you to give us some information, maybe make a note so that we know that you were here, or anything that you might need. We have a place at the bottom to put prayer requests, because if there's something in your life that especially this week you need prayer for, it, we meet together on Wednesdays at 12:30 in the fireside room to lift those needs up before the Lord, and we would love to pray for you. So you can write it down there, put your name. If you put your address too, we'll send you a card, a note that lets you know that we prayed for you, and it also helps us to keep in touch with you. So do that and drop it in the offering plate or give it to one of us. And really quick before I pray, I want to draw your attention to the flyer in your bulletin that's labeled Secret Church. That is something we're going to do here at the core on Saturday, August 2nd. We're going to have some more information next week, but I wanted to make sure that you see that, and that if you can, here's the clincher, if you would like to satisfy the hunger in your soul for God's word, to know it and to understand it better than you do, then come to Secret Church, because this is about getting to know God better and his word. This first one, there's a whole series of Secret Church sessions, and the first one is an overview of the Old Testament. It is intense, and it's powerful, and it's exciting. It will excite you about God's word to come and be a part of this. It's a commitment, because it starts at 5 o'clock, and it's going to run straight till 11 p.m. We're not going to just gloss over it quickly or touch on a few points, three major points, and go. We're going to look close and take an overview of the Old Testament this first session. So read this and make a commitment to come and join us. It's going to be a great time of fellowship around our Bibles. So I wanted to be sure you were aware of that. Let's have a word of prayer before our cadet Leona comes to lead us in our first song. Heavenly Father, we are so grateful that we have your word, the Bible, in our hands today. We're grateful that it reveals to us who you are, your very character, your creative purpose in putting us on this earth, and the revelation of your Son, Jesus, that gives us opportunity to receive that purpose and to know it and live it every day. We thank you for the fellowship that we enjoy as believers and the chance today to meet together as an encouragement to each other. We pray that you would receive all the glory as we, by our lives, bring glory to your name. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
Good morning. I'm going to make you aware of a few opportunities for service. And we're going to start by having Cadet Leona come up, and we're going to have a little video of our VBS, Vacation Bible School, that's going to start real soon. So,
and just before it starts, if you haven't signed your kids up for VBS, we have still have registration forms in the back as well. So make sure you grab one. It's going to be fun.
Okay, that's great. We're going to have a lot of volunteers, I got a feeling, because that looks like a lot of fun. So I want to make you aware of a few other announcements. We have a very happy couple of newlyweds somewhere. Where's Crystal? Oh, yeah, there you are. A very happy couple newlyweds here, and they're going to have a reception, so you want to see about that, since you want to be a part of their newlywed excitement. On Saturday, the 19th, at the Ball's house. So that's this coming Saturday. So we have a reception for that. That'll be a really good time. You're going to do the cake thing and everything? No. Oh, okay. There's going to be a cake, but well. And then we have our this is a very active church in the summer, and it's not just because of the camp staff. But that has a lot to do with it. I was at camp last week. It was awesome, and we had we threw a little band camp in the middle of it. And what did we have? Like 16 kids making a joyful noise. But they even performed at the campfire, and it was really neat. And camp's doing great. You guys are doing a great job out of camp. I was there to experience that. So let's give a hand for our camp staff. And now we have another camp in this division somewhere. I don't know where it is. No, Camp Arnold on the other side. We're gonna send kids to their band camp, the divisional band camp, and they're leaving this afternoon. We got quite a few. How many kids we got going?
10.
We got 10 kids going over there to band camp. That's gonna be great. So they're gonna take off right after church today and go over to Camp Arnold for a week long band camp over there. So there's a lot of stuff going on. Our kids. This is a vibrant church. A lot of kids getting involved and learning music and learning about Christ and learning about the Lord. So a lot going on. And you can keep this going today. We have a 534-ish church in the park. We have church in the park this evening, and it's a really good time. We throw some volleyball nets out there and have a barbecue. And have some, we get to turn up the praise band amps really good. And if you don't hear us 3 blocks away, we're not loud enough. So it's really a good time. So you'll want to come out to Church in the Park this afternoon. And that's really good. And so we keep going through the week. So if you look at the program schedule on your bulletin, we don't slow down very much. But I want to make special note of Thursdays. We have adult Bible studies. And they do separate the men and the women on this, so you got the Soul Sisters and the Bible Brothers Bible studies, and it's you'll want to look into that, and everyone's welcome for that. And Friday's great. We start with a fellowship meal in our fellowship hall here at 5:30. There's youth discipleship, karaoke. Oh, karaoke is awesome. Karaoke night, and then. And then there's movies in the park. So talk about the T-shirts. Everything is awesome from camp. We watched the Lego movie Friday night. I'm trying to get that song out of my head. Everything is awesome. But bring a blanket, bring a beach chair, and as soon as it gets dark, we're over there in the park, and we're showing movies. We've got a snack bar. It's really neat. It's really casual, and we have a really good time with that. So you'll want to look into that. We always have a really good family movie going on. So we'll finish that up. Major Steve has an announcement for a couple Sundays from today.
Awesome. What a beautiful group we have here today. We have an opportunity. Every year, our core raises dollars to support missions around the world. It's called World Services or Self-Denial. And with our cadets here for the summer, one of their assignments is to have try to coordinate a small fundraiser that the proceeds would go to that effort, to World Services. So we have two things. I believe it's next Sunday, right, for Leona. Leona's going to have a bake sale. If anyone wants to bake something, bring whatever, cookies, cupcakes, whatever, and add it to the table for sale. All the proceeds will go to World Services. But also then, two Sundays from now, is kind of a different type of a fundraiser. It's a fast and prayer session here in the chapel, okay, in the sanctuary. It's going to be 1:30 to 3:30 on the 27th. Okay, 2 hours of extended prayer and fasting. Now, some out there might say, well, my diet, I can't do that kind of thing very well. So we're doing it at 1:30. If you need to go get something, there's dietary things people have to do. You could still join in with that. But what we're asking is that people would come and be a part of that. It'll be just not only learning about what is fasting and so forth, learning about the prayer needs around the world, because that's really what we're going to focus on, but as well as some of our own needs here in this sanctuary and this community. But we're asking for a suggested donation of $15. That's just suggested. If you want to bring more, you can. If you want to bring less, you can. You pray about that and bring a gift. Something, maybe if you don't eat that day, that would just be the price of your lunch or something like that. And that's what we're going to do. And the proceeds will go to the mission effort, okay? So this is a unique one. It's not like, it's more of a, it's the sacrifice part of it, right? And that's what we're calling our church to do. So two Sundays from now on the 27th, fasting and prayer time in here. It's going to be beautifully inspired. And so I hope you'll come, all right? And Cadet Ray will be helping us through that time. All right, you have a little slip of paper in your thing right here. You could, try to keep that up and pray about it. Pray about it, whether it's something that you'll be a part of. Pray about it for the church as a whole, because God can inspire our hearts through this process, all right? So God bless you. I hope you'll be there for that.
Good morning, church family. How are we today? God is good. All the time. Amen. Okay. Okay, so this morning's reading comes from Luke chapter 9, verses 18 through 23, and it says as follows, "And it happened, as he was alone praying, that his disciples joined him, and he asked them, saying, 'Who do the crowds say that I am?' So they answered and said, 'John the Baptist, but some say Elijah, and others say that one of the old prophets has risen again.' He said to them, 'But who do you say that I am?' Peter answered and said, 'The Christ of God.' And he strictly warned and commanded them to tell this to no one, saying, 'The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and scribes, and be killed and be raised the third day.' Then he said to them all, 'If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me.'" May we bless the word as Cadet Ray McGonigal comes up and gives the word of God.
Thank you, Joshua. Good morning. I have some numbers for you this morning that I want to share with you. First, the territory numbers of the week ending last week. Worship service attendance in the entire in the territory was 23,758. Those in attendance that were saved is 663. Those in attendance, their new members enrolled, was 22. People referred to the Salvation Army services was 1,077. People assisted was 168,167. Some big numbers. Let me bring it home for you for Spokane. Spokane has 276,000 people in it, according to the 2010 census, with an annual growth of 6.5%. So it's safe to say that today in Spokane, we should be at closely, if my math is correct, 295,320 people. So it's pretty close to 300,000 people here in Spokane, but why are we the lowest in church attendance? 41% of the people here in Spokane have no faith involvement whatsoever, which is less than the national average of 35%. We're second only to New York City. Interesting. 122,000 people walking around Spokane that don't know Jesus. Why is this? Because I drive around Spokane and I see a church on almost every street corner. Further in the census, I find 24% of those that do have a faith involvement is only moderate. I call them Christmas and Easter Christians. The overall church program preference is spiritual development, and that's what I hope to accomplish today, is to look at God's Word. Eric, I'm sorry, but only 28% of those folks prefer a contemporary worship service. In the households in Spokane, only 25% of folks here in Spokane give more than $500 to the church in a year. I hope I haven't lost you with all these numbers and statistics, but it's what I learned about Spokane. It's what I learned about you. I can't possibly expect to serve a people that I don't know. And just the same way, I can't imagine you'd want to be served by someone that doesn't know you. In the same, Jesus wanted his disciples to know the people that they were to serve. He wanted his disciples to know about the people that he was going to be told about. Let's pray real quick. Heavenly Father, thank you for those in attendance this morning. Thank you that we can seek your Son. Father, most of all, we want to thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, that lives in us and among us. Father, it's in his name that we pray this morning. Amen. Much like I wanted to know who you were so I could present Jesus to you, Jesus wanted to know what the people thought about him at the time so he could be effective in his ministry. He wanted the disciples to know their audience. He was to bridge that gap between the lost people who didn't know a God that loved them. He is reality. Our passage today is written in Luke that Joshua read for us, but it also can be found in Matthew chapter 16, Mark chapter 8, repeated three times in the Gospels. Jesus was teaching his disciples and letting them answer their questions on their own, equipping them for their future ministry, showing us a view of the reality of Jesus so that we can understand who it is we are able to have a relationship with in order to know God. If you have your Bibles, you can follow along. The Blue Pew Bibles, it's on page 841. And the words should be up on the screen as well. In Luke chapter 9, verse 18 through 23. I'll begin with the first two verses. Luke chapter 9, verse 18 and 19. Once when Jesus was praying in private and his disciples were with him, he asked them, "Who do you think I am?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others that one of the prophets long ago has come back to life." Jesus asked the disciples, "Who do the crowds say I am?" I like that in the beginning of the verse it says that Jesus was praying in private. This is because that those that prayed at his time were praying on the street corners. They were praying out loud in front of everyone so that everyone would know how holy they were. But Jesus wanted to talk to his Father. He wanted to pray in private. He remained humble. This is the first characteristic of the reality of Jesus. And much like I wanted to know who Spokane was, Jesus wanted the disciples to know who the crowd said Jesus was. So he asked him again, like I read before, who do the crowds say I am? At this point, we can see in verse 19 that it really was kind of a mystery. They would say, John the Baptist. Maybe that's because John the Baptist was performing miracles or baptizing and preaching. So they were familiar. The word spread fast about who Jesus was, because good news travels fast. And it went from town to town. And people liked knowing the man telling them about a God who loved them. Some say Elijah, or the prophets from long ago. This was who they said Jesus was. Elijah was described as a righteous prophet of God, and one who powerfully preached against the worship of Baal in the Old Testament. But more significant here is that Elijah raised those from the dead and performed miracles. Very familiar story. In Matthew 17, Mark 9, and further here in Luke's writings, and again in 2 Peter, it refers to the three together, John the Baptist, Elijah, and Jesus. And so we can see why they were compared to each other. A personal story. When I arrived at the college for officer training, I was scared, and I was in awe of what was about to happen. We had many classes and assignments all thrown at us at once. And for this old man, it was a little rough. I hadn't been to school in a while. But it was only after a month or two that the school started to call us by name. The instructors called us by name. Of course, that name was Cadet. I had not been prepared for this kind of humbling. I had not been ready to begin what I saw as my rightful place as a man, a father, a successful career, and a provider for my family. And now I was Cadet. It didn't last long. They started to call us by our names. But I was called Walter. I was trying to stay under the radar and out of trouble, but being called by another name got a little frustrating. Even though Walter was a nice guy, he had a really good haircut. But it hurt me to think that I was invisible. It wasn't me. But after talking with Walter, I realized that people were just calling me Walter because that's who they were familiar with. And after I talked to Walter, they were calling him Ray. I was humbled. Much like in Jesus' time, people related Elijah and John the Baptist to Jesus, to the stories they had heard. You see, we label what we know, what we're familiar with. The commonality is what we repeat. In Mark 8, in Matthew 16, and here in our text today in Luke 9, it is said by the people about Jesus, he's a prophet from the past, possibly John the Baptist, a teacher of God, a rabbi, a prophet himself. In this, Jesus knew how he was described by the people. My question today for you is, who do you label Jesus as? A savior in your times of trouble? A healer when a loved one is sick? Do we use him as a crutch to help us along? Or are we building a relationship with him? Really getting to know the true Jesus, the reality of the I Am. Peter answers these questions for us all. I am relationship. Coming back to our text, we read about Peter. Peter was the son of Jonah and was from the province of Galilee. His brother Andrew was also an apostle, and he was one of the 12 apostles chosen by Jesus, one of the first disciples. Originally a fisherman, he played a leadership role and was with Jesus during the events witnessed by only just a select few people. He was part of Jesus' inner circle, but he denied Jesus 3 times. Prior to that, he preached a message at Pentecost. According to the gospel, Peter confessed Jesus as the Messiah. And in some translations, it says Christ. we read Luke 19 and 20, or I'm sorry, 20 and 21. "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" Peter answered, "God's Messiah." Jesus strictly warned them not to tell this to anyone. I want us to look at that question Jesus poses to the disciples. Not the answer, but just the question. "But what about you? Who do you say I am?" Jesus had just finished taking a poll to see if they had done their homework and found out who the people thought he was. Now he wanted to know who they were going to tell the people about. He wanted to build that relationship with his disciples. It is not okay to let them be wrong, and it's not okay to let people make up what they don't understand. He was charging them, just like I'm charging us today, or just like the Scripture's charging us today, to let people know Jesus, to have a relationship with Jesus. Just as Peter answers, I want us as a church to be able to answer the Messiah, the Christ, my Savior. We learned about Peter in Acts chapter 3, verses 14 and 15, when he calls Jesus the Holy and Righteous One. He would also refer to Jesus as the Author of Life. All names for Jesus, and today we as a church sing praise songs with the names of Jesus in them. Prince of Peace, Savior, Lord of Lords, King of Kings. And these are all great names for our Christ. But it puts Jesus way up here. And remember when he was praying alone and teaching the disciples, he wanted us humility. He wanted to be the Jesus in here. It's a relationship with him that they have to have before they can tell anyone anything. This is true as well for us. We will be put into places and times when we need to tell others about Jesus. But without the relationship, without that foundation of knowing the real Jesus, we are not equipped to tell others yet of who he is. We must first have the relationship with him before teaching or preaching to a world that needs to know that they have a Savior in Christ. When we have that relationship with him, we will know because they will see Christ in us. They will know that the love that we share only comes from Jesus, that our strength comes from the Lord, that we can be sure that when the time comes, that we will need to act and we'll be ready because Jesus is relationship. I like the passage that they will know us by the word of our testimony. We're told this in Revelation 12:11. I like the King James Version, so I'll read it to you. "And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their own lives unto death." I hope you can see how important the relationship is with the I Am. It is to be our goal to have this relationship with Jesus so that we can be together, so that we can build up God's kingdom, so that we can grow our church, that we may be holy, living sacrifices before God. Our call is the same as the early church. Paul writes in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. "Therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." This relationship and our confession with Jesus is where most people stop. But I tell you, there's much, much, much more. A debt has been paid, and we are now able, by the power of the Holy Spirit, to offer our lives as a holy sacrifice to a God that loves us. You see, the great I Am is Redeemer. A Redeemer has been born, tried, crucified, and by us, he died. But he rose again as our Redeemer, a true kinsman Redeemer that you and I would not have to suffer a sinner's fate. As you can see in our scripture this morning, in Luke found it important to include Christ's words in verse 22 and 23. It's very clear, and he writes, and I'll read it for you if you can. And he said, "The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law. He must be killed, but on the third day be raised to life." Then he said to them all, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me." I am living testimony of this challenge, taking up my cross and following Jesus. It's a difficult calling. It's a difficult call. It's a difficult decision for each one of us to make in our lives. He said daily. Kyle Idleman puts it best in his book when he writes this. "Before you rush to judgment and declare an immediate yes, just sit for a moment and really think about it. Are you true blue, unashamed, unabashed follower of Christ? Or do you sometimes conveniently leave your faith at the door depending on the circumstance?" Fan versus follower, that is the question. Having been redeemed, I wonder if we can grasp exactly what it is to take up our cross and follow Him. You see, I struggle with this as many of you do daily. But how much do we give the core? How much do I work for more than just selfish ambition? How much time do I volunteer? How much more do I ask Christ than I'm willing to give? You see, only you and Christ know your heart and your relationship and where you're at with your Redeemer. A convicting scripture in my life has been a letter to the church of Corinth from Paul. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9, it reads this. "Do you not know that wrongdoers will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, adulterers, nor men who have sex with other men, nor thieves, nor greedy, nor drunkards, nor slanderers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. That is some of you what some of you were, but you were washed. And you were sanctified. You were justified in the name Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God." Washed and sanctified, we are now empowered by the Spirit to be a blessing to others, just as Jesus is a blessing to us. The great I Am is reality. He is Redeemer. He is the relationship. We have been justified through Jesus Christ, and now it's up to each one of us individually to be willing to allow God to be in control, to be willing to seek His will for our lives, and then get ready for it. Just do it. It's that simple. I want you to know Jesus as your Lord and your Christ.